It is the APC podcast here at acmepackingcompany.com, part of SB Nation. Talking Packers all of the time. I am Zach Rapport, holding it down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, joined by my trusty cohorts in New York City. Big changes, you guys. Next season is shaping up to look a lot different for the Packers. We sort of already knew that, but there's lots of news to get to over the course of the last 2 weeks since we last talked to you, dear listeners, and who better to break it all down with than Ben Foldy and Alex Patakis. Ben, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm about to go to Spain.
What? Wait. Hold on a second. Is this like a pleasure trip, a work thing? What's going on?
I don't know. If you're traveling with your parents, is it pleasure?
It's a mixture of pain and pleasure, we'll call it.
It'll be fine.
No?
Is my sense. It will be fine, and I won't have to pay for much.
I hope that you have a fine time. Let's move over to Alex Patakis, back from a short off-season hiatus. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've got quite a bit of food envy for the meals that Ben's going to be consuming in Spain, which we've already discussed. So I'm dealing with that.
Have you, you've been to Spain before?
I have not been to Spain. I'm extremely jealous. I have some Spanish heritage. I'm trying to get my mom to go as well. Great job by you, Ben, being able to go with your rents, because there's something great about spending time with your rents is like how willing they are to pay for you.
I know.
Since you're out here on your own in New York City.
Especially if there's like good food, yeah. It's like when meals are in the picture, it's like really the best.
There's nothing more gratifying.
No. You're like, oh, I'll get that appetizer. Like, of course.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, dessert, why not? Sure, I'll have another beer. Well, I know for a fact that we do have one, maybe two listeners in Spain. So if you are listening right now, what you should do is follow us all on Twitter at the APC Podcast. Pod, and then add all of our names at Zach Rapport, at Ben Foldy, and at Alex Patakis, and send Ben your food recommendations because he's going to be in your fine country.
It's true.
Yeah. Top 10 paellas in Spain, where you can get them.
Yeah. Why don't we just jump right into it, you guys? A lot of big news has gone down since we last talked to you. As I mentioned, a lot of stalwart Packer names no longer on the team. So let's just jump right into it. Clay Matthews, we'll start there. The main, the myth, the legend, pass rusher Clay Matthews heading back to his home state of California on a two-year deal with the Rams worth a maximum value of just under about $17 million. Wow, you know, at that price, the team-friendly deal and sort of the move to inside linebacker that many of us suggested or even hoped for clearly was not in the cards for the Packers. Alex, I want to start with you here because I think that you've been sort of the most critical of Matthews among us three. Can I sort of get a temperature check here? How are you feeling about this?
I mean, you're always sad to see someone go who was part of so many great times and who had so much success. But from the football and moving forward perspective and these new era Packers, I mean, I feel like midway last year, there was probably a show we did at some point in October where we were like, man, I'm kind of glad this is the last season that we're going to have Clay Matthews. There's no way in hell he's going to be around longer than that. So, you know, you've probably upgraded at pass rusher. He's not there. It's just not there anymore. Like, he's always, I think the way I described it and how I just feel about him in general is he was always kind of an effort guy. And when you're stronger or quicker than everybody else, it's easy to get by on that. But when you're, you know, aging, it's hard to not have just like a deep repertoire of, you know, very technically sound pass rushing moves. So it doesn't fly anymore when you're not like the young spry guy who's just working his way around blocks as opposed to, you know, I guess doing it the more technically sound way.
He was one of the most snake bitten players in the NFL last year in terms of penalties, obviously, and that got discussed a lot. But it's also worth pointing out that on almost every one of those, if he was a step quicker, they wouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have that step anymore.
Do you think it's also worth noting that on some of those penalties, if it had been called slightly differently, you know, he gets credit for more sacks. You know, he's been dinged, I think, the past few years for like lower sack numbers. And I do think there's something to be said for some of those touchy penalties, maybe.
Well, definitely in the Minnesota game. And it's arguable whether if that game would have ended differently, like it was kind of shaped the season in some ways. Like, it was early on enough.
Oh, my God. Would Mike McCarthy still be here?
I mean, maybe not. But it's just like last season was a season where nothing went right. And it really felt like it started in that Minnesota game and with that penalty in particular. But all that said, it's like, is the price right? The answer is probably no. I'm not happy to see him go, but I'm not upset about it.
Yeah. Well, I also just want to add, I don't want to, I'm not like celebrating it, you know?
Yeah, nobody
I just made sense. Like, it was just like, that's the move they have to make. But I'm not going to be like so happy that he's not on my team anymore.
I mean, yeah, there's no, I mean, like, what, at what point are you like, yeah, I'm super excited that we like re-signed this, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. No one would be excited about that. Linebacker who's on the wrong side of 32 or however old he is. It's like, eh, okay.
Right.
Well, I think that, you know, quote, someone's going to pay for Clay, unquote, was kind of a popular refrain. And it kind of often is among fans who know that they're going to lose a player. But even still, are we surprised to see this dollar amount attached to a player at what we assume is the tail end of his career, Alex?
I guess given the team, no. Like, I think that based on,
fair.
Like, the destination that he lands at, I guess it's not that surprising because there is no one more willing to pay for aging defensive players that, you know, definitely have some things wrong with them than the Rams. Like, it seems like the core of their defense, other than the best defensive player in football and Aaron Donald, is basically just made up of a plethora of those guys.
Akeem Talib.
Their whole secondary is basically those guys.
Well, Marcus Peters is good.
Ndamukong Suh is a guy like that.
All those guys,
like,
are good, though. I mean, I would take all those guys over Clay at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. But I mean, like, they're very much like, let's hope he's got some good football left in him. And
yeah. I mean, they must. Do I think that he might be more effective if, you know, Aaron Donald's getting double teamed? Yeah, that's like a reasonable assumption. He might be really good for them in terms of raw numbers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good thing to point out, is like, you're also very much a product of your environment. And the Packers defense in general sucked for a really long time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, yeah, he had Mike Daniels, and there's been a couple of guys who were pretty good, but he was also never on a defensive unit that you felt like was so over the top in terms of like their talent load, particularly at people who do what he does. Like,
yeah.
Who's the best pass rusher he's ever played with? Daniels? Like, he was never bookended by another guy.
No, Julius Peppers.
Yeah, right. Like, the 1.5, like, really good seasons, mm-hmm. I guess, of, like, Julius Peppers.
Who opened up the field for Clay a lot, right? Like,
right.
They played really well off each other.
Yeah, but, like, when, you know, you're well, you know,
He could still be a very good complimentary part. Is he where you want all of your pass rush generating from? No.
Yeah.
I think that's the fundamental. Is like, if you have the luxury to have him out there on third down or whatever, like,
right.
Great. But if he's the cornerstone and he's the guy who's supposed to be setting the edge on rundowns, like, you're going to get hurt.
Which makes, like, his early career success even more impressive when you think about, like, the Frank Zombo, Eric Walden days. I mean,
true.
Like, really, like, his most dominant point was at a point where, like, he hadn't even played with, like, a real outside linebacker yet, you know?
Anytime you can name drop Frank Zombo.
Is Frank Zombo still in the league?
I mean, he was on the Chiefs for, like, what felt like 35 years.
And then I feel like, wasn't he on the Colts briefly?
Well, Walden was on the Colts. I mean, Zombo might have been, too.
Frank Zombo.
He's probably somewhere.
Is currently a free agent. He's only 32.
Welcome to the Ben Reads Wikipedia podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, Zach must love this. I could already feel
he
him.
He was released,
like,
on September.
I mean, hey, I was Googling it at the same time.
He
so
was
I'm
re-signed by
well.
The Chiefs last season on October 9th after being released by them on September 1st. Did he actually make it into a game last year? 9 games played last season.
Wow.
For
So there it is.
2 combined tackles.
But quickly, before we move on, can we close it out with a favorite Clay Matthews memory, Alex? Do you have anything specifically that springs to mind?
I have two, but like, I feel like one of them is just way too obvious and cheating.
That's probably the one that I got.
Well, I kind of want to go with like the more fun one that I feel like kind of sums up his career. Like,
that's probably
even
the one
better.
That I got.
But I mean, it's hard not to start with the forced fumble in the Super Bowl against the Steelers. And really, that's like made so much better by NFL Films capturing his little conversation with Kevin Green, who, by the way.
Oh,
like,
it is time, baby.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if you don't capture that, it's a great a super timely turnover that he created that ultimately went on to them winning the Super Bowl. But it's made a lot better by the NFL films. And I think I know what Ben's is going to be.
Well, actually, you just reminded me of a different one. But you probably do know what mine's going to be. But now I have two.
Okay. But, well, nice. Maybe we can share the second one if we're right.
To the listeners, just really quickly, we haven't gone over these yet. So,
No.
We don't know each other's favorite moments. Ben, what do you got?
So, I mean, what I was coming into was going to be the, I think this is not any statement of my politics, right?
Yeah, okay. That's the one.
But, like, I mean...
Damn it. You took mine.
Well, what else are you going to do? Like, for me, that's the... It's the definitive Clay Matthews. It's like, there's a penalty. It's kind of stupid. It's kind of hilarious.
But
it's
at the time, it was so awesome.
And it was
so
gratifying at the
break
time.
Break it down. I mean, what are we talking about here?
Him leaping like a lion in a Discovery film in slow motion and dragging down Colin Kaepernick by the neck.
Clotheslines Colin Kaepernick like 3 yards out of bounds.
Yeah. And it was the most cathartic moment for a Packers fan who'd watched Colin Kaepernick destroy the Packers in two successive playoff games.
Such a Packer killer and like so frustrating to
play. And it was just like that was the Clay's our guy. Like Clay, like he feels like we feel.
Oh, that just reminded me of another one.
Well,
now,
so when you were talking, because I was reminded of pre-game of like, you know, pre-snap audio, him and Cam Newton 2 years ago. That is also on the list.
Yeah,
like because that's like that in my mind is kind of also like very, very representative of late Clay Matthews, which is like still talking a ton of shit.
Yeah,
still like kind of treated as if he's like this kind of game-breaking player, but then someone just like pawning him badly. Anyway, yeah.
What about you, Zach?
I feel like we stole your thunder.
I mean, you took mine. I mean, it's definitely the hit on Colin Kaepernick, a guy who I have a ton of respect for. But Ben, as you talked about, he was a Packer killer. He at the top of his game, he was so frustrating to watch, just constantly slip by and evade defenders. And so that sort of like leaping clothesline out of bounds, it was, you said it, the word is cathartic. And actually, you know, I think back on that play and I kind of cringe a little bit because that's like, it's a little bit more bloodthirsty than I usually like to think that I am as a fan. But I also just thought it was kind of funny. And ultimately, you know, it didn't count. No one got hurt.
Yeah, it's a no harm, no foul thing, right? If we're here sitting...
The play didn't count, but it's the memory that counts. So thanks, Clay, for that.
And if we're talking about like, you know, we could be here talking about Danny Trevathan or you know, Thomas Davis III or Senior or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And like, hey, remember that time he like head-to-head somebody and ended his career? And like, we don't really have that with Clay, I don't think.
What that made me think of, which I guess could be a little bonus one, and Zach, I think your description of bloodthirsty is spot on. And I would argue that this was even more gratifying than the Colin Kaepernick one. Was when he smacked the shit out of Russell Wilson in the NFC Championship game in Seattle on an interception return where he so obviously did not need to make any contact with him, and he concussed him.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson should not have been able to finish that game and ultimately throw a touchdown
probably
pass
Clay
in overtime.
Matthews probably shouldn't have been able to finish that game either.
That sent the Packers home, canceled my flight to Arizona that the company had booked, and all of these things that came crashing down shouldn't have been allowed to happen. And really, I should be thanking him. But instead, you know, concussion rules, whatever. It's the NFC Championship game. But that was bloodthirsty as hell. And I love that so many of the Clay memories are just blatantly illegal like plays, like things that you would never get away with.
He was always on the border. Maybe that's putting it nicely. He was
always running very quickly around the border at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's move on because we just scratched the surface. And now that... Now that I see the wavelength that we're all riding, we could talk about Clay Matthews' near penalties all day long. But another fan favorite, a roster stalwart, someone who I don't think I've really ever heard another player say anything even approaching negative about, is wide receiver Randall Cobb, who is headed to Dallas, signing a 1-year deal with the Cowboys. It's a $2 million base salary with a total maximum value of about $5 million. Alex, here's a guy who sort of burst onto the scene with like a tremendous and obvious sort of talent and speed. He could return kicks. He played extremely tough for a guy his size, someone who had a bit of that sort of mind meld connection with Aaron Rodgers, but who ultimately, you know, a lot like Clay, couldn't quite stay healthy enough the last few years. Give me your reaction here to Cobb and the Packers parting ways.
Yeah, again, I mean, much like Matthews, the writing was kind of on the wall. I mean, we saw literally like a tearful embrace between Rodgers and Cobb, knowing that that was going to be the last game that they we played together. So, I mean, again, it's hard because so many of the guys we're talking about today aren't just like names that you think of and like, oh, there was a couple really cool plays. Like Cobb was so like likable. Like
these are like
just
generational.
Yeah.
This is the face of the team changing immensely in one season. I mean, yeah. Jordy is like a season removed, but even still.
And he was so likable. But like you said, I mean, it is made a little bit easier by the fact that the past few years, he also wasn't producing that much, right? And like, you
How
can argue
years?
That
2014,
he was...
I guess, was the year that he really broke out. I mean, I guess breakout implies that you continue to have been broken out. And that's not necessarily the case.
I mean, the inability to say, I mean, there's just so many things that kind of factored into what I think some people, given his actual just raw football talent, would think is like kind of an underachieving career in Green Bay.
I think that's safe to say in some ways.
But I one thing I always kind of think about is how I don't know, maybe they did maximize Randall Cobb's actual ability, but I always like get that little thirst for more and feel like if he was playing somewhere else and he was playing not like in an era where in a Packers offense where for like the past 4 years we've just been ripping their lack of creativity, that someone
just
say
Bill Belichick, you know, you want to.
Yeah, like, okay, right. So like had Randall Cobb been playing in the Patriots offense, I find it very hard to believe the conversation about him would be like, yeah, he was really good, but like he probably should have been better.
Well, I'm not sure. Like,
I just think is
he not Danny Amendola in that offense?
I think he'd just be a better, more gifted Danny Amendola in that offense. So kind of like a Julian Edelman, who Julian Edelman retires, his numbers are going to be insane.
I don't think that, I mean, I guess like, and this is not, I like Randall Cobb as a person and a human being and as a football player, but I really don't think it's unfair to say that he never really hit quite as hard as he should have. I mean, he had the one season, 2014, I think, I'm going to repeat that mistake if it's a mistake, where, you know, he really blew the doors off the sucker.
I don't know. They tried to use him at running back a little.
Well,
they
I was going
to
say,
do
so
some stuff
if
like,
we were
with
gonna,
him.
If we were going to do a favorite memory, my ironic answer was going to be like all the times Randall Cobb picked up 2 yards on a stupid running play.
Yeah.
Really quickly, I got to validate you, Ben. It is 2014. He had 1,287 receiving yards.
Yeah. I mean, that season was incredible. And the offense was just kind of on. But then outside of that, like he never quite got there.
Yeah,
you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but
no,
like,
no, I'm not.
Like,
I mean, you're
right.
That's what I was saying.
When
like,
I think I'm
always
like,
a thirst for more.
Like, well, you know, he reminds me of somebody like Jeremy Maclin or like some kind of like you can see.
He's
it.
Better than him. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I guess like in terms of like what you think maybe they should have been.
Jeremy Maclin was like a number or DeSean Jackson even. I mean, like, and that's not a horrible comparison. Like, it's not like I don't think you'd be ashamed to be compared to like peak Jeremy Maclin or peak DeSean Jackson.
No.
But like it is kind of like you don't quite live up to the hype. And it's not hype. I mean, like he's a damn good football player and he's a super likable dude and a good teammate. And this is his own thing is like he's the most clutch like offense guy. I consider him like and I might, you know, he made plays in high leverage situations that stand out, right? Like, and if we're going
to
talk about
I think
about,
that's part of that mind meld that I alluded to with Aaron Rodgers, just kind of knowing that, like, when the pressure's on, like, they know where they're going
to
be.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's also a testament to, like, his mental toughness. But, I mean, so are we doing favorite memories? I mean, what are
well,
we?
Well, hang on, really, really quickly, before we move on to that, because you mentioned, or I mentioned sort of the mind meld with Aaron Rodgers. Alex, I think among us, I think you've been the biggest proponent of sort of giving the quarterback deference, or at least consulting him on decisions. And all indications are that Aaron Rodgers and old Cobby are best buds, like in the truest sense. So give me a gut check feeling here. Do you think Rodgers is pissed? Do you care? What do you think?
No. I think he understands that it's probably, I mean, like, I'm sure he's sad about it. I don't think he's actually mad. I think it would be hard to be mad because I think that Aaron Rodgers in his heart of hearts should know that even he, as good as he is not going to turn Randall Cobb into like some super productive player that's going to be worth paying a lot of money to. And also, like, he already said goodbye to like someone he was arguably even more mind melded with and enjoying. Like, he's kind of used to this by now. Like, at some point, you have to realize, like, if I'm going to be a quarterback that plays into my 40s, I'm going to see a lot of guys come and go. And whether it's his leadership style or what, like, he gets close with a lot of these guys. They're carpooling to games. Their families kind of, like, spend a bunch of time together. They vacation together. They do all this. But, like, you're the one outlasting everyone. You're going to have to be the one, like, saying these goodbyes all the time. So, like, just get used to it, you know?
Yeah, definitely true. All right, quickly, before we move on, Ben, as you suggested, let's give a favorite Randall Cobb memory. I want to go first. Mine is a cop-out, but it's a cop-out with a twist. 2013, week 17 against the Bears, Rodgers to Cobb, touchdown, victory. We all know it. We love it. I was sad to finally lose the DVR'd game on my mom's old cable box back in Wisconsin when she moved house. But what I really love about that play, and I insist that you all go to YouTube and rewatch it, watch the TV copy, is that after Cobb scores, the camera cuts to Jay Cutler, who in like top Jay Cutler form is sitting on the bench with his like parka over his shoulders. And he sort of does this like dead-eyed, like neck twitch, shoulder shimmy thing. And it is just, it's so priceless. And so for evoking that reaction from Smoke and Jay Cutler, Randall Cobb, I thank you.
Yeah, fair. That's gold.
I think I'm actually going to take last season's game, first week, the touchdown at the end. I mean, I can't remember feeling more kind of 360'd. I mean, outside of the Seattle championship game, I can't remember feeling, and that was the other direction, obviously, but I can't remember kind of like being more elated from the depth of despair than that. And, you know, ultimately a meaningless game and a meaningless season, but a very good moment.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I guess mine is probably another really popular one if you were to just take a poll of like everyone. And that would be his debut because, like I've often talked about, there was just a feeling of invincibility after the Packers had gone on and won the Super Bowl. And then you start the next year, you know, you're the premier game because you're the Super Bowl champs.
He got a kickoff return, right?
And he returned a kick for a touchdown. Also, a little like bonus to that play was good old John Kuhn playing a big role in like basically keeping him afloat as Randall Cobb was nearly tackled and going to the ground. John Kuhn just like kind of was like literally there to catch him as he falls.
And also played an obvious big role in the Chicago 20, whatever.
And the fourth and great play to go to the playoffs. Yeah, so John Kuhn's got a lot of good cameos in the Randall Cobb reel. But also, like, you know, you'd come off of winning a Super Bowl. This guy who, like, shatters SEC records for all-purpose yards, and obviously that's, like, the highest level of college play. You feel, like, slips to you, you know, in the second round. And he, you know, just the immediate, like, payoff of this is his first game as a pro, and look what he just did. Things are only going to go up from here. Was just, I mean, that's like the peak of what it, why it was so great to be a Packers fan in the, like the Aaron Rodgers era.
I don't think he ever did it again, like, did he?
I don't think so.
Not a return.
Yeah, I think that might be like the only, and he wasn't returning kicks very long.
No, I mean, like
he would return punts and stuff.
I mean, that was his rookie season, right? Like he was still kind of like lower. It was James Jones was still around. Like,
yeah,
you know,
at Lambeau against a great opponent in what was ultimately a really fun game.
Was it against the Saints?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was the past two Super Bowl champs going head-to-head, and it was like, boom.
That was his only return for a touchdown, 108 yards.
Amazing.
It was pretty baller.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. It's a good way to burst onto the scene.
All right, guys. Let's move on. Rounding out sort of this sad see-you-later segment here is former Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson, who is calling it a career at the age of 33, or as Ben might call it, the wrong side of 32. Shout out to Hoodie James Jones with the initial scoop there. I got to admit, this news gave me feelings, you guys. Nelson won a Super Bowl with the Packers in 2010. Had like we've talked about the mind meld. He had a borderline telepathic connection with Aaron Rodgers that was at times just impossible to defend. And more than anything else, I can't quite think of a player so just universally loved as Jordy Nelson by other players, but also fans. A surefire Packers Hall of Famer, and I'd say a first ballot NFL Hall of Very, Very Good wide receiver. Alex, let's start with you. Did this news have you feeling some kind of way?
Yeah, I think so. It kind of just is, you know, a lot of these guys leaving is probably, it all serves as a reminder, but that, like, this era of Packers football is, like, quickly closing. And I just think Jordy and how close he was with Rodgers, how many touchdowns he caught from him. Jordy was the first Rodgers receiver, right? Like, there was a carryover
Jennings
with Greg
was
Jennings.
Kind of a shared.
But he played for Favre. Jordy was the first guy who never had any Favre connection that was, like, Aaron's guy, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think when we think back on Aaron Rodgers' career, like, every great quarterback has a number of receivers that come to mind immediately, but, like, Jordy is the guy. Like, that's the Rodgers receiver. When you're thinking about the guy on the other end of Aaron Rodgers, like, career, Jordy is that guy. And him just, like, hanging it up and not even, like, wanting to hang on to, like, a, you know, a little bit more football and bouncing around the league anymore after the whole Oakland thing, just, like, makes you realize, like, this is ending really soon. Like, and soon we're going to have to say goodbye to the hardest guy to say goodbye to, which is Rodgers. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing with Jordy is that, I think, because he was actually the toughest one for me to think of, like, a memory for, because I feel like Jordy is that guy who...
It's so many.
Well, and there, it's not that for me. It's that, like, it's so dependable, and that, like, kind of, like, you know, the worst of sports, like, announcer cliches where he's like, he makes it look so easy. It's like, that's how I feel about Jordy. I'm like, he makes it look easy. Like, he always, like, he just catches the ball in stride or, you know, makes this contested catch where you're like, no one's coming down with that. And then he does. And, or, like, you know, gets both feet down, whatever it is, back shoulder. I'll wait on my memory because it's like way out there. And neither of you guys are definitely, this will not be either of your guys' memory. But, yeah, I think Jordy is, like, the most dependable kind of Packer of the era. Like, you never got mad at Jordy the way you get frustrated with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, even. Like, not, and I don't mean that as a criticism of Rodgers, but I'm just like, Jordy is, like, Mr. Dependable in and out, day in, day out.
Ben, you in talking about sort of memories, and we can move on to our memories here. You mentioned that it's kind of hard to identify one, and I found myself thinking the same thing. It's just so hard for me to pick. And so my memory is kind of a cop-out as well, but it's really just a broad memory of, I just loved how, specifically before Jordy's knee issues, defenders, like, forgot how fast Jordy Nelson was. Like, it was their job to forget how fast he was. He never got credit for his second gear from so many defenders, and all he needed, Ben, like you were saying, all he needed was a little half step to catch it in stride or a bit of, like, bodying to the football, and then he would just turn on that second gear and he would just make you look a damn fool. And I never got tired of saying, yeah, you probably should have, you know, not let him get behind you. Probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And I think that birthed, like, maybe one of the, and if we're going really broad, one of the other, like, more memorable things about the Jordy, and particularly Jordy Rodgers connection, was they basically made it impossible to, like, talk about the Packers without talking about the back shoulder throw. Like, yeah. I mean, there was kids probably growing up Wisconsin all the time. Like, it used to be, like, you're playing ball with your friends, you just run a nine, like, just, you want to throw it as far as you can. You want to play Brett Favre. And then there was, like, probably, like, a little generation of kids who were trying to perfect the back shoulder throw at the sideline the way that Jordy and Aaron did it. And, like, every highlight reel you watch, it was just people breaking that down and how they, like, literally had it down to a science. So that on a broad scale, that was it. But I do have, like, I do think, and I felt like it was kind of a cop-out too, because it's just, like, you know, I keep going with, like, all these firsts, you know, like Randall Cobb's, like, first game. But that first touchdown in the Super Bowl win, just in, like, I think... I was talking to Ben about this before the show, but there's a certain tension, right? When, like, you know that this is going to be a highlight, like, one, it's the Super Bowl, so you're nervous as hell as a fan. There's just a feeling, like, right after that, like, okay, they're not going to get shut out. Like, check. You know, they still look like a team capable of beating a good team. Like, it was just, it broke all of that tension that exists with, like, you know, a couple of three and outs to start the Super Bowl when it's like, who's going to strike? And ultimately, it was also, like, a beautiful play. I mean, like, he was fairly well covered. It was a beautiful ball, and then he just, like, fucking finished the job, which was awesome. So that's certainly one that I'll never forget, because, you know, to go up 7-0 in the Super Bowl just gives you that feeling like, holy shit, like, they really could do this.
Mine is actually not particularly football related, and this will only make sense to people who were, you know, subscribers to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in, I believe, 2008, maybe 2009. But there was a cover picture on the sports section. You know what I'm talking? You know where I'm going with this? With Greg Jennings' hand inside a cow. And Greg Jennings wearing a bucket hat, making the strangest, like, kind of like a grimace smile. And I was like, I wake up, I go downstairs, I, like, pour my bowl of cereal. I look at this, at the cover of the Journal Sentinel sports section. I was like, what the fuck? And then it's about, like, the wide receiver corps bonding on Jordy's family ranch in Kansas, I think Kansas.
Yeah.
And he apparently got all of the Packers to artificially inseminate cows.
Wow.
So that's my favorite Jordy memory, because nothing was like, I think he hadn't really done anything yet. I think he started 2 games in 2008. And it was just like, what? Like, and it's, yeah. Anyway, if you can, go find Greg Jennings with his hand inside a cow, artificially inseminating a cow, because it is, like, I just don't. How do you forget that?
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be the memory.
Wait, you didn't mention the one I thought you were going to mention,
what
though.
Did you think I was going to mention?
I thought you were going to, because we have to hit this, just because it's also, like, one of the best Mike McCarthy memories of all time.
Oh, the flag.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can hit the flag.
Like that,
oh,
if we want to
yeah.
go, I thought when you said you were going to go out there.
No.
The
was
cow was way more out
there.
or in Greg Jennings' case, like, in yeah. there.
Oh.
But, yeah, so... I mean, him picking up the challenge flag that he knew Mike McCarthy should not have and was not allowed to throw, and, like, hiding it and walking it back to the sideline and basically teaching the kind of buffoon coach how to coach, is one for the ages. And that's, like, so Jordy Nelson right there. Like, probably sad it got caught on camera, definitely didn't want to shame his coach, but still knows the game much better than him.
Great moment.
Yeah.
Man, you know, as we move on here, Alex, you sort of made mention of this, and I want to circle back to it, but you talked about sort of like how this is like part of a little era that's coming to an end. And, you know, it really is true that, like, these little eras, they come and go so quickly. You know, we had the Super Bowl with Rodgers and Jordy and everyone else, and it's gone like that. So, like, the fans who are constantly sort of finding something to complain about, and they're just, like, always hashtag mad online about something. It's just like, take this lesson away from this episode. Just enjoy the football. Just watch the football and enjoy the football. But before we go, I want to check our pulse sort of collectively about how we feel about this team here, because it already looks so different, as we just alluded to, all these names dropping off. As far as once the season has ended, you know, LaFleur is ensconced, his staff is in place, free agents galore have been added, and of course, these two longtime pillars in Cobb and Matthews are gone. Alex, are you excited? Are you nervous as we sort of head into the draft? How do you feel about all this craziness?
No, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I just think by being so willing to part ways with these guys and being a little more active in free agency is just an admittance that, like, this needed to happen. And it's going to happen, and we're going to act quickly because we don't have a lot of time. So, in terms of the direction, like, I'm not going to be mad. You know, I think they've probably already on paper done their part to replace any production they may have lost by losing Clay Matthews and releasing Nick Perry. So, like, cool. I'm good with that. Got better in the secondary, something they obviously needed to address. So I can't help but be excited. And also, like, I've been someone for a long time who's just been, you know, really craving a kind of a remodel at the wide receiver position. So I think, and I know that Jordy Nelson wasn't a Packer as he retired and he's been gone. But I just think, like, closing the book on that and Randall Cobb, and really getting to start over with the young guys they drafted last year and anyone else that they may still add to the fold or draft this year, is what's most exciting to me, because they realize, like, Aaron needs options. This has got to change. He's got one great one in Devontae, and now we probably need to find like one or two other guys like that to really maximize these last few years. So I can't help but be excited. And who doesn't like, you know, new players at skill positions? That's always fun.
Adam, or on that note, I think it was Adam Schefter who tweeted out something like the last time the Packers selected a non-quarterback offensive skill position player in the first round was, I wish I had it in front of me. It's like, I don't, it's like a decade. It's something like, it's criminally a long time ago.
Offensive non-skill in the first?
Offensive non-quarterback skill position, like a wide receiver, yeah. For example.
Cobb was a second, right?
Yeah. The whole second round receiver
second
was
round
their thing.
Who would it have been?
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, but that's not, again, non-quarterback. So it has to be at least before him. There's got to be an obvious.
It was probably a Mike Sherman thing. No, Mike Sherman did. Ahmad Carroll.
You guys ready for it? I have it.
Oh God.
Sure.
Javon Walker.
Oh,
2002.
I should have got that one. I was so pumped because I grew up an FSU fan.
Dude, Javon Walker to 16 me is still years. like you know, I can talk for whatever about unfulfilled potential about Randall Cobb, but for me, Javon Walker was the supreme like. Could have been like a real legit Hall of Fame kind of guy.
Yeah,
and
he still balled for a little though.
Yeah. No, I mean he had great seasons with the Packers, and then when it was time to pay him, his knee exploded. And I mean that look to me that was the beginning of the end for Brett Favre for me. Was that whole debacle?
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, on that Javon Walker related note, which is of course is where I knew this podcast would end when we started it. The offseason plods on as we get closer to the draft, and we're going to have some kind of draft coverage here for you at the APC pod, and also as well SB Nation is going to be doing a league-wide NFL mock draft, and so there's going to be things in this podcast feed about that as well. And so keep it locked in, acmepackingcompany.com, all offseason long as the Packers revamp their roster, remake the coaching staff, and bring you a shiny new toy to play with come the 2019 season. For Ben Foldy and Alex Patakis, thanks again to Amber Watson over in the Craig Newmark School of Journalism in New York City. I am Zach Rapport at the APC Pod on Twitter. Follow us on iTunes and subscribe. Give us a rating, all that fun stuff. And we'll see you guys later. Go Pack, go.